Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
A guy who's just showing up to camp and was going to throw a day and had some discomfort and they push back. They're just keeping him healthy. But he did throw a 13-session fastball one. The next one will probably have breaking pitches. If there's a setback in there, then it's like, okay, we really are ramping up. And I know I'm being more Pollyanna than anything else for that. That's fine. I would acknowledge I wouldn't have him right now, but I'm just not touching him in the ranks.
I think that's a logical approach, though. Like, because we talked about it with Cardi. We can hate on DeGrom all we want, but this is a guy that can absolutely change your season. Look what it did to the Welsh's season in Tout last year when he came back halfway through. It made his team from a loser to a winner. That is literally what
he did.
That
was the scariest team to play for the final 8 to 10 weeks.
So, you know, you can't lower him too much because he has that in him. And if he plays the whole year, he's going to be a gigantic difference to your team, and you could be getting him as a deal right now. It's just, you know, I took him last year in a couple spots and he burned me. So, you know, it's what
he burns you. Yeah, he burns you. You don't forget. I totally understand that. Let me get back to the sheet here. As far as this goes, I mean, that explains a lot of it. The logic is pretty sound. At the end here, I want to, when we get through these four, I want to get our, and before we do the differences, I'm going to get our best four picks out of these ranges. So know that we're going to do that. So keep that in your mind. Let's go 31 to 45 on the overall. This is where if I have the first overall pick, I'm going to give very big, heavy, hard consideration to double tapping closers in the second and third round. I'm probably taking one at least because I have Edwin Diaz and Emmanuel Clase at 31, 32. Dylan Cease at 33, followed by, which that is actually also moving, by the way, Scherzer, Arenado, Jazz, Jose Altuve, Corey Seager at 39, which I'm quite a bit higher on, 38, I'm sorry, Marcus Semien, Ozzie Albies, Josh Hader, Randy Arozarena, Aaron Nola, Brandon Woodruff, and Luis Robert is 45. That's my third
For me, I've got Lindor at 31, then McClanahan, Jacob deGrom, Jose Altuve, Randy Arozarena, Aaron Nola, Justin Verlander at 37 in a row, Cedric Mullins, Adolis Garcia at 39, Manuel Clase at 40, Matt Olson at 41, Dylan Cease, Corey Seager, Max Scherzer, and JT Realmuto.
So when you look at this in your third round context, the thing I struggle, this is another one of those where I poke at you a little bit because you love your closers, but I mean, where was, did I guess we had Edwin Diaz at 26. Okay. So you did have him there. And then you have Clase just as a different tier of a closer than you.
And really what it is I know if I want Diaz, I'm going to have to take him in that second round in a 15 man or a third round, very beginning of the third round in the 12 man. So if I want to do it, I have to have him there. And he's the top closer to me. So I have to have him there. I really despise where you have to take the relief pitchers.
Sure.
I hate it. I despise it. I don't like it at all. I want all my drafts to be on fan tracks so that closing, you know, the closers are cheaper just overall.
You know, it's funny you say that. Whenever I do the mock drafts on the Draft Wizard over on Fantasy Pros, the problem is ECR people, how they rank the closers, they don't want to rank them high. So they go a lot lower, which might be more representative than to Boob and Ruben Boob leagues, which is fine and good because it just feels better. It feels better when you get one of those solid closers in like the fifth or the fourth or something like that. In a 15 team roto with your third pick, taking a closer stinks. It's not fun. And I completely agree with you on that one.
I love it when the first closer, and this goes to the position too, right? And this is why I find positional ranks more valuable than overall. But you, to me, you have to do the positional ranks first to know which position is thin, so that then in your overall, you could start moving those positions up in value. And relief pitcher is thin. Like, we know who the top 10 closers are going to be. After that, it's muddy for so many teams because it's early spring training. You know, we haven't had a lot of managers talk about who is in the role and all that stuff. And we're getting more and more of that stuff now.
I was just about to say, did you hear the Yankees? They had said, like, Clay Holmes is a candidate to move around. They didn't say the fire hose, but it's the guy that they'll move, I think, into eighth if there's a leverage. Big lineup coming up. Yeah, it's a leverage closer. And that's okay. You can deal with that to some degree.
That might pull 5 to 10 saves off of his projections, right? But he's still going to lead the Yankees in saves. So it sucks. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that stuff, you know, but it's good for rankings because now, you know, maybe move Clay Holmes down a couple ticks, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's why the closers are expensive, is because we haven't heard that stuff. They should move down in price when that back end starts to get more solidified and we know who those guys are, and we're not throwing darts. When we know who the Dodgers closer is, if it's Hudson or whoever else, then great. Now that's a closer we can move way up in our rankings because the Dodgers are probably going to win 100 games, right? But now we don't know. So it's all dart throws at the end between Evan Phillips and Hudson and whoever else. So I hate the cost on the closers right now. So
yeah,
I understand you push them back on where I have them. I get
I have a couple of my favorites in this range, and it does make it tough, but I push them up. So there's the opportunity I can go with 3-4 like this is Jazz Chisholm at 36. I love Jazz. He's my number one second baseman. I've locked into that. Obviously Altuve has the floor. I have him lower because his ECR is 30. Marcus Semien is 35. I have him at 39. Ozzy, I do have higher, because I clumped all those second basemen together. Those second basemen are third rounders. That's the big thing I'm telling you. I think their value is in the third round. So what you can do, which I think is sneaky, if you want to talk about draft prep and just trying to mess around with this stuff, is that if you get to the third round and three of the four are still on the board, I don't hate the opportunity of waiting into the second round and you take the best of the next guy that comes in there. Because I do think they're all close. I've got them within
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Five spots of each other. I just prioritize Jazz. And based on the ECR, you're going to be staring at Ozzy or Jazz in the second round. So I'm not saying I would take Jazz in there, but I really like him because I also really like Corey Seager. And we've talked about it a million times. You know, the shift ban is going to help him. The BABIP is going to help him. The return back on that with the batting average, big power numbers. I think the Rangers are going to be sneaky offensively this year. And I think he's going to put up big four category numbers this year. So I want both of those guys, but I have them like almost a full round higher right now, which makes it a little difficult. But those are two of my favorite players in here.
Yeah, I'm lower on a lot of guys here that I actually like. I feel like I like DeGrom. Apparently not. I got him at 33. His ECR is 27. I feel like I like Lindor, but I hate the position. And that's probably why I'm lower on him. I got him at 31. His ECR is 25. Altuve, I almost like seeing this. I think I want to move Altuve up to 30. Just have him right below where I have Marcus Semien. So he is a bottom of the second round pick for me because I want him. I would like to roster him. So I probably will end up moving him up and just be even on ECR with him because I hate seeing that I'm below. And I also never get him. I don't think I've taken him in any of our drafts either. So I want to get a couple.
But I mean, are you going to start prioritizing drafts?
Well, that's what it would. Yeah, well, that's what it would be doing by moving him up to the bottom of the second round. So I still, you know, would prefer a third baseman, one of those top third basemen over him. But if I'm in that position where normally I'd be picking high, I'd have to be in the top, you know, probably three or four picks to end up getting him at that spot.
But you're saying like you're in the top of the third and Lindor and Altuve are on the board. You're going to take Lindor.
I want
over.
Altuve.
But then why aren't you taking Semien though? Because you have Semien as your number one second baseman.
Yeah, well, I have Semien at 29. That's what I just said, dude, as I'm going to move Altuve right underneath Semien. That's
what
I just said. So that's the whole point of that is like I need to prioritize moving that second baseman up. So just looking at this has made me move things around in my head already. Nolan, Verlander, and DeGrom, I guess I'm okay with. I wish I was a little higher on DeGrom. I don't think I'm ever going to draft Matt Olson. I'm only one spot below him. And then Scherzer, the same thing. I guess the older pitchers, I'm just a little lower on overall. But I have, you know, I like taking Adolis. He's a big one we'll talk about in our differences. I have him at 39. I'm not the highest in the world, and I double-checked this to make sure it wasn't me because 38 is his highest, and I have him at 39. So I'm very close, but I'm not the highest on him. But I'm in that range. So, and you guys know I love the power speed guys. I love taking an outfielder here because outfield is thin, especially when you have five. So I'm much more likely to take Adolis than a lot of the guys here. So
the two that I hate that I'm low on, and it makes me want to rethink. But the problem with this whole, like, I want to rethink these guys it has to be applicable for me to change my drafting habits. Aaron Nola, I am way too low on, but I pushed all the pitchers down for the most part. He'll come up a little bit, but he's still probably out of that range if he's going at 26 that he's ranked. And the Randy Arozarena one bothers me because I think I want Randy Arozarena.
I've seen you draft him too.
Yeah, all day over a guy like Adolis. I don't even want to put myself in the situation to draft. And you know what? Also, I have Randy Arozarena over Luis Robert. I see situations where Robert goes ahead of him. Like, I love the idea of not taking Robert because you can get Randy Arozarena. So I don't like being low on him. That one, that is definitely one that bothers me here.
I understand that. I'm only two spots higher on him, and I have him, I would prefer to take him over Adolis, but it seems like I miss him a lot. And then I end up with Adolis. And that is, you know, a lot of that is just where you're picking. I've been picking late in a lot of drafts, so I just don't get him.
Let's look at the last little bit here of the actual numbers we're going to give you. At 46, I've got Matt Olson, Cedric Wilson at 47, O'Neill Cruz at 48, Cedric Mullins, Cedric Wilson, former 49ers wide receiver, Cedric Mullins, O'Neill Cruz at 48, which is astronomically higher. Teoscar Hernandez, another one. JT Bermudez at 50, Zach Wheeler, Zach Gallen, Corbin Carroll at 53, Devin Williams, Carlos Rodon, 56 is Christian Javier, Kevin Gausman, Jordan Romano, Eloy Jimenez, and Kyle Schwarber at 60.
For me, I've got Zach Wheeler at 46. Moving on down, Carlos Rodon, Luis Robert, Josh Hader, Shane Bieber, Julio Urias, Jazz, Ozzy, Presley, Varsho, Corbin Barrels, Teoscar, O'Neill Cruz, Kevin Gausman, and Devin Williams.
So this is also this round, this fourth round in a 15 team. To me, this is very telling of why and how things start to open up, because my ranks start to open up. They're really starting to differ from ECR, and you can see it. O'Neill Cruz, I've got two rounds higher. Teoscar Hernandez, I've got about a round higher than most. Corbin Carroll, I've got two rounds higher. Christian Javier, about a round higher as well. This is where things open up, and you're talking about prioritizing like values. O'Neill Cruz, you don't want to buy the lip service of a player or even just a manager necessarily. Oh, I want to be 30-30. That's fine. But that is the skill set that he has, and I want to make a bank on that. Teoscar Hernandez, yes, he doesn't walk, but it is hard hit through the freaking roof. We talked about him a whole bunch with, you know, the home run totals actually being higher if he played all his games in Seattle versus Toronto. I love him. And Corbin Carroll, you know, Corbin Carroll's only 1-for-3 in this game.
It's annoying
that we're watching.
That you're ahead of me, by the way, overall on Corbin Carroll. I hate it.
Of course. Yeah. It's so hard to draft him. It is so difficult to draft him because he keeps moving up. But his ECR is 78, and I've got him at 53. If you can get him in that fifth round, I know it's a high cost, but there's a really good floor with Corbin Carroll. And he kind of showed it off today. Even though the power wasn't there, he stole a base right off the top, scored a run, and he's leading off for the Diamondbacks. It was against the A's in the spring training. But that's the type of stuff that you want to see. That's exactly it. I remember somebody posted the other day after Eno and I had this long discussion about Carroll, was like, well, why didn't he steal a bunch of bases in his major league debut? And as it's a fine question, it's also just like, it's just so silly. Like, I mean, he came up in September with a new team. He didn't have a green light. He didn't have that cachet. What was he supposed to do? Come up and steal all the bases in the world? Like, no. Like, he hit okay when he was up here. This is the fastest guy in baseball. He's going to run. He's spending a whole season with the team and the manager. And then look at this. First at bat in spring training, wheels. We're going. We're running. And you love to see that. So as scary as it is to take those rookies and stuff, Corbin Carroll just has such a good floor that you got to be comfortable drafting him. The problem is there are quite a few players I really like and I'm a lot higher on. So this is where I could start to alter based on what I've done. If I took Corey Seager, I'm not taking O'Neill Cruz here. I'm moving on.
Right.
If I took Ronald Acuna and another outfielder, I'm probably not going to be staring at Teoscar and Corbin Carroll. So this is where the path starts to deviate, Box.
It absolutely starts to deviate, like you said. And, you know, just looking at this, I'm moving my second baseman up just in the overall as well, because I have Jazz down here, who apparently I'd be low on. Same thing with Ozzy. Those guys got to come up for me, at least ahead of, like, Wheeler and Rodon and probably JT Realmuto, who I have as the last pick in the first round as well, just to make sure I get those guys. Because, like, as much as I do respect Realmuto and know that he's probably going to be the number one catcher again, but, like, I'm not taking a catcher that high. So I have to move him down. You know, good to talk about this and look at it. By the way, just looking at the Corbin Carroll stuff, you know how many games he led off last year? Just take a shot at that.
Oh, I think it was only a couple, like three or four.
Three.
Yeah. He hit, I remember looking at that.
He hit three times at one, four times at second. And after that, it was fifth and down. And most of his at-bats were from the sixth spot in the lineup. So not a guy you're asking to steal every single time. So, just weird anomalies. Like you said, let's look at the stat cast on that. We're both high on him, but also we understand you don't need to take him here. You don't need to, because most of the time you might need to by the end of spring training based on what he's doing already in this first game. But if you're drafting right now, he, like you said, his ECR is what, 78?
I'm not 78. Yeah.
Yeah. So 78. So you don't have to take him until the sixth round. If you take him in the fifth, you're just a little ahead. You don't have to take him in the fourth where we have him ranked, unless you're in the draft with us. You're probably going to take him in the fourth. But if you're in your regular league, your regular 15-man roto, you can get him in the fifth. He can be your fifth-round pick, and that can be your risk if you want to take.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
Solid floor, guys, rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, and then reach on Carroll in the fifth. That can be your first, reach. O'Neill Cruz, same deal. You know, if you've taken safe guys 1, 2, 3, 4, you somewhere in fantasy baseball, you got to go out on a limb for someone. And you know, rookies are it for a lot of people, and sometimes they'll burn you. We understand that, and that's why Cardi is so low on his projections, and we have the term sophomore slump and all that stuff. But you have to go out on a limb somewhere. If it's not DeGrom, you know, if it's not reaching early on someone else, if it's not in relief pitching, whatever it is, you have to make a leap somewhere. So that can be your first leap, and that's why we have these guys ranked so high.
Yeah. In this area too, the strategy comes into play with just so many great players. What works for me, and I think makes me feel comfortable when I get into drafts, is where I have so many players higher here, I legit have an opportunity to get two or three of these in rounds 4, 5, and 6 in the guys that I have as fourth round talent, where, what did I have? Six players in round 3 that I'm higher on. But I think positionally, they're players that are just not going to fall. There is some depth here. So let's take a look at these four rounds then. And let's start in round 1. Give me the Bogman guy. We're going to pick the top 4 guys. And then we're going to look at our biggest differences. So round 1, you give yourself a spot and then pick your player. So what spot do you want? Your ideal Bogman spot. And then we're going to do your ideal Bogman players.
Okay, my ideal spot would probably be 3, and I would take Julio.
Okay, so you've got Julio. I'm going to go with, I've talked about a lot of different draft spots here. Let's go with a wheel. I'm going to go at, or I'm going to go 14. I'm going to do Freddie Freeman. I'm going to say Freddie Freeman at 14, which then I get to come back around, and I'm going to go with Austin Riley. So Freeman and Riley on the wheel here. So you have a much higher pick at 3 at Julio. So you're going to have a background second guy. So who's your second rounder?
My second rounder, I'll go with Strider.
Okay, so you've started Julio and Strider. I've got Freeman and Riley. Coming back into the third round here, you got an early third rounder. Who's your guy?
Randy Arozarena.
Ooh, okay, Randy Arozarena. Since I have a back end, let's see, my guy, I'm going to go with Jazz because he's at 46. So ECR, I'm going to go with 46, and then I'm going to tail the next round, and let's go with, ooh, who do I want to go with, Bogman? Let's go with Corey Seager. Let's do that. Okay. So yeah, that's how we're going to start with it. We've got, and actually got a whole infield. We got first, second, third, and short, and the whole thing. So I've got Freeman, Riley, Jazz, and Corey Seager in the first four, drafting from a 14 spot.
My last spot would be Hader, unless it's Carroll. I think I want to get Carroll in the next round, though. But my last one would be Hader here. So I would start out with Julio, Strider, Randy Arozarena, and Josh Hader.
Okay, so that's a look at the top 60 of what our overall looks like. We have a top 300 on the website you can peruse. And even if it's your thing, I think it's all good. You know, I'm not as hateful of a person as Bogman. Bogman judges you. If he has a robot that looks at the time spent on the overall list at InThisLeague.com, and then he takes
better
the
not
people,
do it.
He has the people that have the most list. Time spent, and he judges you. And
you
he
better check those positional
you.
Ranks, guys. That's what I'm saying.
I don't. I'm your friend. I think you're a good person, and I'm here for
before
you.
Before we move
you,
on from the top 60, you want to talk about the differences that we have?
Well, no, that's what
bit?
We're going to do. We're going to go okay. to the differences on the whole thing here. That was just the actual numerical thing. So let's take a break, and now let's take a look at the top 60 differences, and let's take a look at the differences outside the top 60.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
Nobody.
ITO.
Two other pieces of news before we get into this, even though this is late. I just want to mention, Bogman, I don't know if you saw this, that first action on Saturday, CJ Abrams, 2-for-3 and a stolen base.
Leading no off, too.
Big deal. Just want to throw out that CJ Abrams.
Live updates a couple days later.
just things we didn't talk about at the top. I just happened to be looking at. Also, Seiya Suzuki was scratched from the game with oblique tightness.
I don't like that.
Saturday. Yep, he's been a very popular guy that we've been taking a look at. And I don't know if he'll show up on this list, but let's take a look. These are two different. These are differentials. So these are the top 60 differences that Bogman and I have. And then we're going to look at our outside the 60, some of the bigger differences we have, so we can give you a bigger look, which again, you could find it in thisleague.com, the top 300. We have positionals. I don't know if you do tiers. I do tiers. I don't remember if you do or not, but we've got all those, and they'll be updated this coming Friday will be the next update, and an update every Friday moving forward.
My initial one, I don't do tiers, but I will do tiers for this update.
Okay, cool. So you'll have tiered updates positionally, and you'll have the overall list plus all the prospect and dynasty stuff, which will come a couple of days after that in thisleague.com. Come and sign up today. Okay, here are the big differences. Bogman, why don't you list off, because these top two, I think, I'm actually confused at what this bottom list is, but the first one is the you versus me differences.
And the bottom one is I have them in the top 60, or you have them in the top 60, and the other guy doesn't. That's all.
Oh, okay. So. Gotcha. Okay. So these are the biggest differences that you have higher than me. And what are the three?
Marcus Semien, Brandon Woodruff, and Cedric Mullins are the three guys that I have significantly higher than you. ECR says you're closer on Semien. I'm closer on Woodruff, and we're actually kind of in between on Mullins, but you're probably a little bit closer. So I just want to know why you hate Cedric Mullins so much is my question. But no, yeah. Really, I'm just high on him. I'm actually, it's weird to me, and just looking at my overall list, It's just so obvious I need to move my second baseman up because I have Simeon high, but I don't have the rest of the guys high. So
yeah.
I do need to move the rest of my second baseman up. So that's kind of the big thing that I took away from our big differences. I know that I like nice people, and Brandon Woodruff is a great pitcher too. So I like him. I don't know why you hate nice people that are nice to you and take awesome pictures with you, but whatever reason you do. I'm not sure what it is, but why has the hate gone too far on Woodruff here? What do you hate?
It really is. It's just, it's like a ginger. It's a draft thing. No, I like it. It's just because he's ginger, 100%.
To the asshole.
Now, Simeon and Woodruff, I both met this spring training. Maybe Mullins, the reason he's not higher is because I haven't. But I think all these guys are fine.
Yeah.
Woodruff just had some underlying. The strikeout numbers are like always still there, but he just had some underlying stuff early on last year that I just didn't vibe with. He's just not a part of the big build of where I'm taking starting pitchers. And like, I don't think he's in the elite class. So like, I have the elite class up, and then I actually need to push some of these other guys down because I'm not drafting them. Like, I'm just really not drafting Scherzer. I'm really not going to draft C. So I don't know why I still have him high. Simeon, I just don't have as the number one second baseman. So
that's just the difference. We talked about that in second baseman. You're highest on Jazz.
Yeah, I want Jazz or the cheapest. Like, I'll take Simeon, right, but I want the cheapest. Mullins is just also another one of those. I think he's a good, relatively five-tool player, but he falls in a spot, and this happens a lot. He falls in a spot of where I don't draft a guy.
Well,
like
he was so bad at the end of last year too. Like, he was getting platooned. So I think that's a little overblown of what was happening at the end of last year. I think, I think he's going to get on the right track and be a good player again. And you know, the lineup is decent. Obviously, the ballpark sucks. But, I think it's a little overblown. But you're closer to ECR than I am, so I'm just a little higher on him. But you guys know I definitely love power-speed combo guys, and he's one of them.
Yeah, and I do too. I just need a deal on Cedric Mullins to pull the trigger. I think ECR 44, it's not bad. It's just like, who are the... Let me take a look here. Let me look at Fantasy Pros ADP. Let me prove the point. I didn't have the ADP up. Of the players that... I went to...
You're looking at Mullins? Mullins is 48.
No, I know that. I want to look at the players that are around Mullins.
Robert Albies are all just ahead of him. And this is ADP, not ECR, by the way. That's what you wanted, right? ADP?
Yeah, and I put in ADP. So where...
Did you take out ESPN?
About? I didn't take out ESPN. It's
you
fine.
Need to.
No, that's fine. But like, even there, Cedric Mullins is 47 with ESPN in there. So before you have, you have Jazz in there. You actually have a group of guys I don't like, but behind... You've got Corey Seager in there. You've got Josh Hader, who's a reliever I would take. Devin Williams, I'm reaching on. Teoscar Hernandez, Christian Javier. These are all players that are quite a bit lower that I just tend to prioritize more than Cedric Mullins. So I think it's a lot about it. It's not that I necessarily hate those players. I have some players that you hate. Austin Riley, I am quite a bit higher on than you. Jacob DeGrom, probably much closer, so he doesn't really need to be in there. Max Scherzer, Jazz Chisholm, Ozzie Albies, O'Neal Cruz. Let me ask you something. Why do you hate O'Neal Cruz that I'm 10 spots higher? Why do you hate Austin Riley where I'm 9 spots higher? And then also, why do you hate second base in general? Because I have Jazz and Ozzie Albies. You get Marcus Simeon, I get the rest.
Well, it's funny because we've talked about the second base. I realize I need to move those guys up. But Austin Riley, I don't hate. Why are you in love with him? Why do you have a crush on him? Because he's
a 40 homer, 100.
I have him at 24. So I'm closer to ECR. And you are on all these guys you mentioned, by the way. And by the way, I'm not even close to ECR on O'Neal Cruz. I'm just not an insane person like you are, where his ECR is 75. I'm at 58 and you have him at 48. That's just crazy for Cruz. No. I'm much closer on ECR than that. These are really the Welsh love guys outside of Scherzer, I think.
Scherzer's not really. And like Scherzer, you said, and Albies aren't like. Down. But Scherzer and Albies aren't like love guys. Albies is more about the second base position. The love guys definitely are Riley. I do love DeGrom, O'Neal Cruz, Jazz. Those are 100%. But the only problem is, like, I can't take Jazz and O'Neal Cruz. Like, if I want to live like crazy, if I want to not wear a seatbelt and do 120, like, okay, I can. But
hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
That's tough. That's pretty tough to take both those guys. There's a lot of inherent risk if you were to take Jazz and O'Neal Cruz together. You're punting batting average.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is not good.
For sure.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league is cooking.
This other list here, this is the you have guys that I don't have in the 60s and one guy that I have inside that you don't have. The three players, not a surprise here. Almost all three of these are my bust. Two of the three have been on bust lists of mine. Adolis Garcia, you have at 39. I have at 63. Shane Bieber, you have at 50. I have at 61. And Julio Urias, you have at 51. I have at 69. Urias's bad strikeout numbers. I don't actually hate Urias or anything.
You talked about on this pitcher episode that you want to move him up because you probably have him a little too low.
Yeah, so
that one just wasn't surprising, and Adolis is not surprising. And like you said, you have Bieber on your bust list as well. So, well,
and Adolis was on the fantasy pro. I think we did it this week. It hasn't aired yet, but we're doing the riskiest players to take, and I think like Adolis kind of falls in that list, even though he's done it for two straight years. It's still like I think we're being set up. I think we're being lulled into this comfort level of like, oh, Adolis did it for 2 years, so now we're good. He had like an ADP that was in like 30. It was like 38 on fan. I guess it's 58 on Fantasy Pros, which I don't know. It's too high. It's UCR's 56. It's too high. I think the comfort level. I would rather take Cedric Mullins, I think, than him, because that batting average, I think, can tank. And I believe his XBA was a bit lower as well. Like, I know he hit 250, but I think his XBA was in like the 228s or 230s. So,
and it's funny,
I just
here,
don't like either one.
Like Shane Bieber, I'm actually lower than ECR on. Only by one spot. I mean, but I'm lower on him than ECR. And it's just you have him tanked here. Adolis Garcia, we've talked about ad nauseum. We don't need to address him anymore. The only other one I want to talk about is your guy that you have high, and it is not in my top 60 because he's just barely in your top 60 at 59 is Eloy, and I have Eloy at 73. His ECR is 68, so you're higher and I'm lower. But I mean, this is probably the least surprising person that I'm low on because he just doesn't stay on the field. Of 84 games last season, 55 the year before, the COVID season was the only one where he finally really got a full season in, and he missed five games there too. So, yeah, Eloy is frustrating to me.
Yeah, I get it. I, with the frustration, a lot of the White Sox, that entire team, it's Luis Robert, it's Tim Anderson, none of them play games. My only hope with Eloy consistently stands that he's the DH. And if Colas is there, I think it gives him one more extra reason to not try to get him in that outfield spot. Because you've got Benintendi, he's locked. Robert, if he plays, he's locked. If Eloy can just lock into that DH spot and we can get going, he does perform. Like, this isn't like a Carlos Correa. We were talking about someone else where it's like they just consistently underperform. No, he does. He performs when he's out there. He's just not out there enough. 84 games, he had 16 homers. Plays a full season, you're going to be close to a 30 home run guy. So I'm making the bet that he's going to be full-time DH. He's not going to be in the outfield much, and that makes me feel better about him, and that's why I have him there. Okay, so here are players outside of the 60, because I know we're very isolated to the players that we were covering, and these are guys that Bogman or myself have quite a bit higher than the other one, way outside the top 60. And let's mark a few bogs. Why don't we don't have to go through every single one of these players, because there's a couple.
Why don't
that
you pick
from
my list and I'll pick from your list?
Yeah, let's that? Okay. Let's do this. Tyler O'Neill, because like Taylor Ward shows up on here, but I've moved him up into this next update that people are going to get. But Tyler O'Neill, ECR of 97. You have him at 100. I have him at 143. Big hard hit stuff, but tanked last year. Projections do not care about how he tanked. I know they're all back in. He's 25-10 everywhere. I just can't get down with it. Plus, he is in a fighting role for center field. Like, they have all but handed the job to Lars Nootbaar. Lars,
yeah,
is
but that's not
going to
keep
right
him out of the lineup. Like,
well, if he's fighting with Dylan Carlson at center field, it might keep him out.
Juan Yepez is the DH. He'll just move to DH and they'll push Juan Yepez out. Like, that doesn't worry me at all.
I mean, I think O'Neill's going to win the job, by the way. Yeah, I think Carlson's on the way.
Sure.
Out. I'm just proving a point that he's
right.
Lying.
I understand.
Lars isn't fighting for a job right now. Tyler O'Neill is fighting for a job.
And look, you know, this is a guy that can absolutely sink, but this is another, you know, another power speed combo guy that I like, you know. Last year was bad for him. He hit 228. His XBA wasn't even that much better at 240. But, you know, he strikes out a lot, but he also hits a lot of barrels. He's very fast. Like, I think you can squint and see another really good season out of Tyler O'Neill. And I'm a little lower on ECR than him. To me, this is more about you don't – it's all the little – it's death by a thousand cuts for Tyler O'Neill to you. More than anything. Is that correct? Would you agree with me on that? Because I have him lower than ECR. I'm lukewarm on him. I don't even like him that much.
No. No. I mean, when you say like death by a thousand cuts, I feel like you're like, it's a ton of this, that, and it's not that. It's just like, he had a piss poor year and I don't trust him. I think he's super streaky. He's a big muscle, but I just don't like him as much as the numbers indicate. And that's just, it's just one of those.
So it's not death by a thousand cuts. It's just, you don't like him.
No, death by a thousand cuts would be like, he has a bad contact rate. Maybe he gets dinged up and he gets hurt. It's like, no, that's not Tyler O'Neill. I just don't like him as much as anybody else does. And he's one of the few players that stunk. He stunk last year and he's getting a massive pass across the board because projections are spitting out something awesome.
I don't necessarily think it's all projections either. It's, you know, he's slated to hit two for the Cardinals, right in front of Goldie and Arenado. That's a great spot to be in too. A good lineup for a team that's going to win a lot of games, and he can steal bases, which is a commodity. So I don't know. I don't even really feel like I'm in on Tyler O'Neill. I don't know that I've taken him in many drafts. Yeah, I think I might've taken him in one, but that's because he fell in that draft. So Tyler O'Neill is fine, but I'm definitely not going out on a limb. I'll say that.
Okay. We'll throw a couple. I've highlighted some that I'm going to ask you. Give me one that you want to talk about. And is his name Lars Nootbaar?
We've talked about Lars Nootbaar a little bit. I guess let's start with Rizzo. Why do you hate Rizzo?
Do I hate Rizzo? You have him at 129. I have him at 154. That's funny. I thought I had him
a lot
higher.
You got him at 129.
So I was about to say, I had him at 129, and I was like, I don't understand.
Why do you love Rizzo? I guess my question should be.
I love the ballpark. I love that he hit 32 homers last year. I love that he stole a few bases. He had second to lowest BABIP of his entire career at 216. 216.
Shift should help him. He might be the second best shift guy outside of Seager, right?
Let's take a look here. We can pull that up and see what his shift number was. That was one of the reasons. I just don't have it pulled up here. Real quick, but 216 BABIP, not going to go. Every batting projection system has him about 15 points higher overall, which is, you know, that's a fantastic boost back. They have the home run totals going down, though the average is going up, which I kind of think is silly because he hit 30 homers this year. It's a great lineup to be in overall, which we love. And then on the shift numbers, you want to know something insane? He actually was better on shifts, Boggs, as a lefty. 357 WOBA.
Because he mashes it through it.
And he had a 332 WOBA on non-shifts overall. But I think Rizzo statistically underperformed where he can overperform. Low strikeout rates. He still walks. Even hitting .224, he still had a 70-70 season on runs and RBI, and he played 130 games. So it's diminishing athleticism, which I've said a whole bunch. I think it's coming a bit down. But when you look at the – this is where overalls get kind of stinky.
Yes, like,
I'll probably have a first baseman at this point. Mm-hmm. So he comes back down. But I think Anthony Rizzo is worth a whole lot more than what is actually coming up on the board. And to your point, I mean, his ECR is 134. So
I probably need to move him up. Yeah. Well, that's what I said to start is like, I hate Rizzo, and I actually feel like I like him. So I probably need to move him up as well. But this is, like you said, this is where, it gets murky. And I think I looked at Rizzo versus a couple of the other guys, in the top 150. And I just went, I don't know if I can put him in my top 150 because the batting average, and that's a bugaboo for me too, is I'm real bad about the batting average. So maybe I just wanted to push him down a little bit. Like I have him below, Haniger and like Harper, Kyle Wright, who I'll move down. The less he does, the more I will end up moving him down as well. So, who else you want to talk about from my list?
Yeah. Welsh? So next one is Scott Barlow, because I know this is like probably relatively a closer thing, but he's in line with where I have him, which is actually kind of shocking here. Scott Barlow's stuff is great, but they brought in Aroldis Chapman. Aroldis Chapman looked fantastic when I saw him pitch a session on the backfield. I cannot imagine in many worlds with the opportunities that he had that he's coming to sign and not get the opportunity at a closer's gig. And that allows Barlow to be a great 1-2 punch where he could be in really important situations in the eighth. So at one in the 130s where you've got him, you got about 40 spots higher than ECR. I can hear you say the clear answer is you just believe Scott Barlow is the closer, but I just don't think that's definitive. And that seems like a really high cost. We're 40 plus spot difference on Barlow, and which if I believe Chapman's going to be the lockdown closer, I probably shouldn't have Barlow in the top 200.
And
so
I
also don't know.
You're the highest person in the world on Aroldis Chapman. You're only highest in the world on like three guys, and he's one of them. So that is why you hate Scott Barlow. Yeah. But I look at his Savant page, dude. It's as red as the devil's. You know what? It is insanely red for Scott Barlow. He is an outstanding pitcher, which, like you said, could make him a leverage guy. Chapman also just goes through these spurts where he does nothing but throw BP fastballs down the middle. So, like, I don't have much belief in Aroldis Chapman at all right now. I think he's lost a lot of his confidence. Can he gain it back in Kansas City? Absolutely. And if he does, he's one of the best relief pitchers in baseball. We've seen that from him for years. But right now, there's something between the ears that ain't right with, I mean, there's a lot between the ears that ain't right with Aroldis Chapman. But mentally on the mound, it seems like we have it as well. And, you know, this is more about relief pitchers, like you mentioned before. This is more about relief pitchers than me and the overall cost of them. I still believe that at the end of the season, Barlow has the most saves for the Royals, almost called them the Chiefs, for the Royals. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that is that 35 or is that 25. I'm not sure, but I know that even if he's in leverage situations, he is still giving you a lot for your team because he's such a good pitcher. So his floor is very high, and I do believe he's still going to lead the Royals in saves. So
but
that's
why.
But
if it's 25 to 35, like the difference
30, is huge. But he still, his innings are still great because he's such 30, a good pitcher.
35, I take him 133. 25, I don't know if I take him 133, especially with
very understandable. But I mean, yeah, no one knows that answer. So
all right, throw another one at me.
All right, give me Jose Miranda, because it's funny. You have him at 131. I have him at 190, and ECR is dead in the middle of us at 162. And you know what, Welsh? I didn't even realize this. I will double check just to see, but it looks like you might be higher on Jose Miranda than anyone on planet Earth, Welsh.
I mean,
so let me see. I'll see if that is absolutely correct, but tell me about him in the meantime.
Nobody listening to me is surprised if that's the case, because I have been team Jose Miranda. I keep incorrectly saying he's going to steal bases, but he's going to hit. The projections aren't, that X is definitely not super favorable on him. 254 with 15 homers. He hit 15 homers in his rookie debut while hitting 268, a very reasonable BABIP. Does not strike out. It was under 18%. said this a million times. I love his approach. I love his two-strike approach, which I think is really, really key. Plays multiple positions. I think there is 20-plus pop in the bat this year. I really don't have big questions about that. Dude hit 30 even homers in 2021 across multiple levels. And if he's hitting in the middle of this order, he's going to be the guy. I think he's a massively underrated player. Like
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
But yeah, those are the guys that more Bogman guys than Welsh guys.
Yeah, and I will say, like, Leclerc, I'm open to moving a little bit higher. I've talked about, like, how the Rangers have treated him in camp. Really looks like he is the closer. And Ward is coming up on mine, but there's, you know, a couple others that are yours for sure. And that is the list that you guys can check out over at InThisLeague.com. You guys can sign up. You can get access to that. We'll keep updating it. It's pretty much every week, every Friday from here on out, they're going to get updates. Come up in the GroupMe rooms. Hang with us. You can get in on mock drafts. We'll probably have listener league information in the next week or so, as well as we're still talking through entry leagues. We might be doing one. I don't think we're going to do the two that we did in previous years, but we just got to finalize it. So be on the lookout for all that stuff. Patreon's the best way that we post all the information. I also post things that I don't post on Twitter. The top spot house, I posted videos that I didn't share on Twitter, other pictures and stuff like that. So get into the GroupMe rooms. We'll share stuff. Got more camps this week. Going to try to get to a couple games. That's another thing I'm kind of putting to the side. I want to get to a couple actual, like, spring training games, especially as I'm watching the A's demolish the Diamondbacks right here. I want to get to an actual few games myself, not just the camps and stuff, but I will be continuously out at camps. So you can look out for that. Go and sign up using promo code ITL at Underdog Fantasy. You might be like, I can't do that stuff. Trust me.
By the way,
check it out.
As we're closing out, Welsh, Josh Naylor hitting three today.
hitting three, huh?
Yeah. Look, I'm not above eating crow. If I'm wrong on Josh Naylor, I'd be happy about it. So, let's get him to hit three and let's have him have a good spring training. I'll move him up. I like it.
Yeah, let's do it. Big week going on. Like I said, follow on the Twitter if you want to see all the things that are going on. But it's actually a lighter week for me. But I got the Fantasy Pros episodes. I'm on twice with Eno over on Rates and Barrels. Catch me once on CBS. Bogman and I are doing two mock drafts. So that's the thing. This is a mini hell week because we moved this. One is going to be uncensored and one will be fully edited. And I think we probably in this instance do just like a roto and a head-to-head, right? Like that's what we end up doing with this. Mm-hmm. We'll do one roto, one head-to-head. We're going to fill those in the ITL Army. So you're going to get three episodes this week. No big deal. So you know the drill. Patreon, ITL promo code on Underdog, and online and on Twitter at Is It The Welsh and Bogman Sports. Friends, thanks so much for hanging out with us with all the episodes. We'll talk to you next time. It's ITL. And we're out.
See ya.